everybody got? We're on the same place then. We're switching, Richard.
I forgot to announce and tell you about that. I don't know how many here know George Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Talked to him this morning for an hour. And he's been in the hospital with bronchitis, flu, but it's been a long time.
George, is he about 80, 85 now?
No, he's probably 80.
Richard, when you get that old, a day or two doesn't matter. He's in his 80s. Yes, it does, sir. It says, that's spoken by somebody with experience. Okay, I stand corrected.
What? You just want the news story?
Wait a minute, yeah.
Okay.
We're changing the tenor of this book of prophecy and poetry and history. The word prophecy fits in perfectly here because God is trying to tell what he's going to do for his people. Now, it is up for us to try to understand what it means by his people. In the period that this is being written, his people would, of course, be observant Jews. There will become a time, there has already become a time, when there are more people who follow God that were not born Hebrew, Jewish, than there are. That would be most of us. But yet we become his people by the adoption process, not by the birth process as a direct descendant of Abraham, but by the adoption process. And I think we need to understand when we read from 61 really forward to the end of the chapter to the book that he's speaking now to all followers of himself. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Who would he be referring to? Who possibly could be referring to? I think it's Jesus. I first thought years ago that it was actually Isaiah, but no, because these are words really that Christ will repeat later on. Now, does that mean, and this is a real question, does that mean that Jesus is the only one that's ever been blessed by the Holy Spirit? Well, that's a ridiculous question, right? You're exactly right. It is a ridiculous question because there are a lot of others that God has called upon both back in the ancient times, even Solomon and David, which is way century before this, even Solomon, that God gave the Holy Spirit to them to give his message. I think we know that he came upon the 12 plus the others there at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to them. I think without a doubt it came to Paul when he was blinded by the light and on and on. So just because Jesus is the primary one here, thank you, Connie, because I couldn't see you. And half of you is just not enough. Is it cold in here? Great freezing. So he said that the Spirit of the Lord is Sovereign Lord, the Grand Lord, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news. Now, the word we use, gospel, is actually a translation of that word, good news. Back, I was in the ninth grade, so that would have been 9 plus 5 is 14. By 1965, give or take, there was a newer version, and I hate to say version of the Bible, but I'm not, because it really isn't, called the Good News. And it's a transliteration. It's a group got down, sat down, and started writing what they think it meant. It's not a direct translation. The best one of those came along, of course, with the I don't want to say Little Bible, with the NIV, New International Version. So, the good news was used there. Well, the good news is for all of us. Salvation is the good news. And it says, to the poor. Now, yet though, a lot of people who followed Jesus in that 3.5-year period of time, let's not even get past the resurrection, but the 3.5-year period of time, were the downtrodden and the poor. We will understand, we'll agree to that statement. But, we think about poor is lack of money, don't we? Well, that's not at all exclusive to lack of money. Do we not see in Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit? See, he doesn't even say anything about poor in the pocketbook. Poor basically means we're lacking something. Lacking a spirit. Lacking this. Lacking understanding. Lacking friends. There's a lot of different things that poor could be. But Christ was sent, and his task was to preach to those in need. Some were poor in hope. Didn't have any hope. Because they didn't know what hope came from. And a lot of what the Apostle Paul would teach us as we go through the Pauline epistles was simply the fact that the hope is in Christ. So his task was by God to preach the good news, the gospel, the good news to the poor, whatever they are, however they're needed. You know, I really believe, and somewhat it may be in this area more than others, that one of the things that a lot of people lack on is friends. Friends. Now, if you live in the town that your grandparents and your great-grandparents were born in, and you got 15 to 25 cousins, and you know all of them's first name, but you can't name the children, but you say, come over here, Spunky, or something like that, then you may not be as lonesome. But some of you are widows and widowers. And you've been with somebody for 30 or 40 or 50 years. And now that has changed. Some of you, you used to work it all your life, and you had jobs. And you know where you're going to be every day from 8 to 5:30? Sitting on 41 waiting to get there or something like that, maybe. But we don't have that dependency. See, I think the church in and of itself, now I'm not talking about the direct relationship with Christ, I'm talking about those ecclesia, those called out. That's what the church was called, the ecclesia. That relationship is a bonding relationship. I mean, I see some of you all, and it's not as good a thing with Becky and I for over 20-some years. We have more close friends in the church than we did in a lot of our family members. Except for Janet Sue, of course. She's very close to us. She makes great desserts, too. But you can be poor in a lot of different ways. That's one of the reasons. We don't get that fellowship time in the morning just so you can get up and shake hands. It's so you can meet other people. How are you today? How's your family going? Et cetera, et cetera. When you ask Miss Norma over there, how Rosie's doing? Next time you say, how's Rosie? She just smile. Rosie's just the love of her life. Those kind of things are important. Well, by the way, her son, not Dan, but the other one, had a heart attack driving down the road the other day and pulled in the hospital. And I think she thinks he had 3 stents put in. I want to mention that to you, too. So I think the poor in spirit, the poor in jail can be a lot of different things. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. If I was to give you a sheet of paper and ask you to write about brokenhearted, some of you could probably write a poem, others write a story, others could write a song. There's a lot of songs about being brokenhearted. Where you just feel like the whole world has abandoned you. And there are a lot of people that way. We get a magazine here at the church. Actually, it's a letter asking for money each month, but still. It's about the prison ministries. It's called ARM. A-R-M. And I wish I could remember what it means. Something with ministries in it. But how they have gotten so many people in these hard prisons. I'm not talking about the ones where you put your own flower plates in and all that. I'm talking about the rough prisons. I've read so many people because they just needed something to believe in. He wrote 2.5-3 months ago a letter about in a bad place, like a Sing Sing or one of the terrible prisons, how a gang member came through. And this guy was generally bad. Now, he never seen daylight down to bed. But he was convicted by the will of God. He already needed that he thought only the gang could provide. He found out that God could, would, and did provide. And knew when he joined the church and was baptized, and they accused him. It's a poor. Have you ever seen one of the poor baptisms about this tall and got a rubber lining and they put it together and fill it up?
No, Christian church over in Arcadia gave theirs to New Hope down there. It's a communion table. The top of it is a communion table.
You the walk of steps.
When you baptize the person. And they've got enough water in it. They sit down on a bench in there and just lay them back and bring them up.
Well, they've got one different than that. It's not as tall as this table, and it's rubber lined, and they reach over you. You got one on each side, and I think they sell them for like $1,200-$1,500. But this guy knew the minute he was going to be baptized. They knew. He knew. He had already told the preacher, "I will die within a week," because he left the gang. And with these hardline gangs, the only way you leave a gang is to die. Well, the preacher went to the gang, head of the gang, or the gang council, whatever it's called, and said, "This guy's sincere. He's not leaving you all. He's going to God." And the answer was this: as long as he walks the walk, talks the talk, he will not be harmed. So if he acts gangish, but just trying to get away from us, he dies. But he takes on this Christianity that you've been preaching about, and we've all been listening to, and that's filled the gang's place, we're fine. I thought that was a great testimony. But the man was needing something. And there are so many in the inner city of these fatherless kids that are never raised up in a full household, either by the blood parents or one parent at all, that they're looking for something that's been the gang. Oh, by the way, do y'all know what a bang bang is? Jeff, no, you know Jeff. You the one that told me this one. Good? Huh? No. It's an Amish drive-by shooting. Now, I know hope she's at the Tapco, but I was trying to be a little, not as serious as Joe, Jeff. And all right, so he says, freedom for the, he is simply to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. Well now, what's your definition of a captive? We would all have something else. You think the Jolly Roger and the Pirates and that Blackbeard, the Johnny Depp and that all, and they capture, you can be at a prison camp, do a wartime, and there's a lot of different things a captive could be. My definition of a captive is when you're in a situation that you don't control what you want. Young men yesterday, I don't know if you heard it or not, he had a double lung transplant. He'd been doing he's 16. Yeah. Been doing vapes for less than 6 months, and it destroyed his lungs. They found out, they think they found out, the reason is that they're combining a couple of these. I don't give y'all vape. If you want to explain it, that's fine. If not, that's okay. But there's evidently juice you put into the electric pen, or whatever it's called. And they've been doing, the one they say they eat is a vitamin E supplement mixed with marijuana oil. HTC? THC. And it may be what, it's destroying their lungs. But there's some people that do that, they get caught on it. I work with a guy. They just, and he, when he draws in enough, he looked like he could blow a bubble 6 foot wide. There's that much smoke in their lungs and stuff like that. That's a captive. Alcoholism, drugs, gambling, all those can be a captive too. And it lets it work. If it was up to me, I would be eating brownies with chocolate icing on the top all day long. But I found out I would become a captive then, and I would go back to 180 pounds like I was 5 years ago. No good. Freedom for the captives and release from the darkness of the prisoners. To me, they're the same thing. You're a captive to something, you're a prisoner to something. To proclaim to you the Lord's favor in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort to all who mourn, and provide to those who grieve in Zion. Zion, of course, is Jerusalem. We know that. To bestow on them the crown of beauty. And those, he's talking about the Jews now, those in Zion, give them a crown of beauty. Jerusalem has been devastated. Within 100 years after David's death, and Solomon's 40 years, Jerusalem went downhill fast. And it was not the bright light that shone like it had been. Instead of ashes. Have you ever been, some of you may have been Catholic. You see a little dot over the head? The Ash Wednesday? Well, the ashes part is a sign of mourning. So they would put ashes on their forehead in these days when something was going wrong with Jerusalem or with their life in and of itself. So he said, we've sealed it. We're going to put a crown of beauty, not the ashes. Oil of gladness instead of mourning. I'll say a word and you're going to laugh at me. Fabio. Does it look like he put about a quart of motor oil on his hair? Well, back in the old days, they would actually adorn people with fragrant oil as a sign of honor and cleaning up. The garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They would be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, and a display of splendor. If you wish to honor your grandchildren, don't plant a weeping willow tree, put in an oak tree. It's going to last a whole lot longer. Or put in an orange tree and just enjoy it while you can. These people will build the ancient ruins, restore the places along the devastation, and they will renew the ruined cities and have been devastated for generations. It's a comeback. That's what it is. He's got a comeback. And eventually we'll find out what that all means. Aliens. That does not mean green men with one eye. That means people who are not born as Hebrew citizens, as Israeli citizens. Foreigners who work in the fields of vineyards, you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of God. You will be filled with the wealth of nations, and the riches will boast you. In other words, good times are coming back. What's that? Was it the song of the mid-20s? Happy days are here again? That's what he's predicting here. Instead of shame, my people receive a double portion. Instead of grace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. So they will inherit a double portion of their land. Now, the double portion gift they would understand, because all firstborn would get a double portion of their father's property. Let me correct myself, because I said it wrong. All firstborn males. Women were not apt to inherit. Matter of fact, one time, man had 5-7 daughters, and he had to go to Moses. They went to Moses after the father died because they had no sons, and nobody could inherit the land. And Moses gave an exception to that rule for them. By the way, before we leave in a country, did you know that women could not own property? That if it was a death, whenever she married or remarried, that the wealth would go to her husband. Just to let you know how things have changed. And instead of the shame, my people received a double portion of disgrace and rejoice in their hands. They will inherit a double portion of everlasting joy will be theirs. The everlasting joy will be theirs. It will not take away. I can think of nothing else short of heaven where that fits. You're going to be happy one day down here. Here in America, here in the world, and have death or destruction come upon you in a heartbeat. I mean, if what I remember is correct, it was a Sunday afternoon when those bombers came off the aircraft carriers and just tore up Pearl and that whole area. How fast that was. As a matter of fact, if I remember, it was an early Tuesday morning. Those planes flew in to the Trade Center, World Trade Center, and the Pentagon. So things can change that fast. For I, the Lord, love justice. Now here you go. Now we come to the judgment time. I, the Lord, love justice. Now whatever you think justice is, look at it from God's perspective. And he says, I hate robbery and I hate iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them. He hates robbery. Iniquity. In sin. That's what he said. I'm against sin. And I want things to be right. I want there to be justice. not the blind justice that we see at the Supreme Court, but true justice according to God's will of morality. My faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants, and he's talking about 800 years from now, then, the descendants will be known among the nations and the offsprings among the people. Countries become famous. And whether we like it or not, we're not the most famous country, or been here the most famous amount of time. You look through generations way from, even from the time of Abraham and all the Persian power, the time of Israel, when the Babylonians had the power, and the Assyrians had the power, and in cycles, the Huns, the Germans, the Visigoths, and the Visigoths, the Romans, the Greeks. There had been other great civilizations who at the time went on thought they were the only great situation there ever was, and they enjoyed it. All who see them, the Jews now, his people, acknowledge that they are the people the Lord has blessed. Every third Friday in December, for about 15 or 18 years, we went to see the people that were blessed. It would be snowing, it would be ice, it would be terrible. We went on that little minivan with a dog and the two kids and Becky, and we would drive 16 hours, and we would start taking off clothes as we went. Didn't need the overcoat. Didn't need the three pairs of socks. Didn't need the thermaline boots. For long, we were down to our green, we call it green suits. What were those, what we call them? Never mind.
Some people.
Green brothers, whatever it was. We'll report back later. And you're right down here, we see people on the beach in flip-flops, you know, cut-out t-shirt stuff. So these people are blessed. They can do this all year long. And it finally got to us enough that we're here now. And proud of it. He says this, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. We can be happy. Let's find something good to be happy about. Let's find something great. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me with a robe of righteousness. The outfit of a king. Robe of righteousness. The outfit of a high priest. God has given to his children. The bridegroom adorns his head like a priest. The bride adorns herself with her jewels. You know that's in the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. Coming down, heaven coming down as a bride beautifully adorned. The church coming down from heaven as a bride beautifully adorned for her husband. That talks about the church, the bride of Christ. That's who he's referring to, us. For as the soul makes a sprout come up, the garden causes weeds to grow. Seeds to grow, so that the sovereign Lord will make righteous and praise spring up of all nations. There will become a time, we are told, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Most of us, we hope, will be out of true belief and willingness to do it. Others will pretty much be forced into it. Almost like the bully grabbing the kid in the playground, bent his arm up behind him to his uncle. You know, but it's still going to happen. They're going to see that they can stop it then. Now, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet until the righteousness shines out like the dawn, or salvation like the blazing torch. You got that for me?
Which one you want?
Let's start with one, go to number two, and then three.
The Gaza or the...
New Gaza. If you do not follow the news like Norm does, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I turned it on. I went to sleep. It's done so much. Cue the video.
You might want to sing a song for us or something? Cue the deer. Funny phone. Okay, why are you figuring out what we're doing? The nations will see your righteousness. You're going to be an example to others. That's why when they get somebody selling exercise equipment on TV, they look like Adonis and not like Dwight. They got that six pack or eight pack, you know, they're all strong and big, and they want it to be seen all the way around. You got it for me? Jerusalem kills senior Islamic Jihad commander in Gaza. This guy had been in charge of sending rockets over and causing this destruction. So we go over, they send an airstrike over, and they kill this guy who's been planning all these rockets to kill his wife out. And I think it was the next day, keep going. The next day, they get his second in command as well. And they put up this Iron Dome, which is the small missiles going shooting the big missiles down. Now, there will be riots. But God has told them he's going to protect Israel. And because of the hatred that goes back so long they can't remember where it started. Because of that hatred, well, I know where it started. It started back with Isaac and Ishmael. That's how far back it goes. He said, you'll be called a new lad by a new name that the mountain of the Lord will bestow. You'll be the crown of the splendor of the Lord's hand, the holy diadem. That's the top of a staff with a jewel in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted, or your name be desolate. Now, Israel, for those hundreds of years, from the time Rome came in 70 A.D. and just destroyed Jerusalem, was pretty rough and rugged place. There were people who lived there. It's not what it is now, or what it had been in the past. They had been whipped on pretty hard. You'll be called Hespion, and your land Beulah. You remember the song we sang? If you're old enough, and you know how you read a songbook, Beulah land, oh Beulah land, that's where this comes from, right there. The blessed land will be called Beulah land. We're singing about a Beulah land, a blessed land. He's talking about. For the Lord will take delight in you, and you and your hand land will be married. So God's going to be pleased. Do you ever think some people never notice your good deed you're doing? Evidently God does. And it seems like he remembers it as well. It's great to even forget our sins, but remember our attributes and our contributions. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Verse 8, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain as food to your enemies. Never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you've been toiled. A lot of times the problem was going on, and when before David became the king, and Saul was not a very good king, that the Philistines would come in and just rob. Right when the grapes were ready to be cut, they would come in and rob it from them. Or the grain been harvested and thrashed out, they would come in and just steal it. So that's not going to happen anymore. So your God will rejoice over you. Go to whatever I'm going to. Oh, no, I got to read it first. Never again will I give you grain. Verse 10. Pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the Lord. Build up the highway. Remove the stones and raise a banner for the nations. If you were here in 04 with Charlie, and again 05 with Wilma, and again 2 years ago with Irma, some of you may have had the misfortune that you couldn't go anywhere until people got out and cleared the streets and took the branches out of the way, or the roofs of the mobile homes or the buildings that had fallen down. Well, you got the one you had there a second ago?
That's right.
The bombing.
Oh, wow.
I want the bombing. Right there, okay, right over there. There'll be a lot of commerce right there for a while, is there? Cars driving up and down the streets. That does not look like an old ratty car either. There has been war there. And the war, the reaction from the war is stopping normal life. Until all that's gone. Well, in our own life, until we get the stuff out of the way that's causing the conflicts, we will never be happy. Never be satisfied. Never be prosperous. Verse 11, the Lord has made a proclamation to the ends of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes. He's predicting the second coming of Christ. God has already spoken through Christ before, and Christ told him he was told to talk. Now it says the Savior comes for the whole world, not just the Jewish nation. Verse 12. They will be called the holy people. Is it doxology? Holy, holy, holy? No, that's not that one. The song, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. Which word? And evermore shall be. Which art and word? Forward, past, and future. Evermore shall be. We're going to be this holy people. Be redeemed and Lord, and you will be called sought after. Were you all band junkies? Followers? Who? We saw somebody on TV just the other day. And they traveled around for 20 or so years going to concerts by their bands back in the 70s and the 80s. Groupies. Thank you. What's your shirt say?
That's the Moody Blues.
The Moody Blues. But you're not a groupie, are you?
I didn't follow them that much.
How many of the records you have?
I got every one.
Yeah, 11.
I think.
How many shirts have you got?
Several.
But you're not a groupie, are you?
No.
No. Is he a groupie? Yes. Thank you very much.
Have you been to the concerts?
Only three. They know they're good. Especially with that fruit. Verse 63. Verse 63. Yeah. Who is this coming from Edom, from Bozarth, with the garment stained with crimson? Who is this robed in splendor, striding towards the greatness of strength? It is I speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. Why are the garments red? Why are those of the one treading the winepress? Edom means the word red. That nation claims its descendancy from a mixture of Ishmael's granddaughter and Jacob's older twin son, Esau. Well, I don't know about any of you all, but not all families in this world get along. Can I say that? You can probably say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay. This whole land, they were given a lot of land, and it was a prosperous land, had a crutch, had a chip on their shoulder against the Hebrews. They were the chosen ones. They were granddaddy's, grandmama's favorite ones, and on and on and on. And being half Egyptian anyway, did not line up real well with those who of the Hebrews who were full descendants of Abraham and Sarah. So there is a war, a continually, sometimes very brutal and sometimes not so brutal, war in this area. And if you look, can you raise it up at all?
Right. No,
Dead Sea. Which means this is way up there. The
let's see if this
is that better?
No.
No. It's this region right here is what we're talking about. But so they're in the area, it was a prime area because they had water from the Jordan River, from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, which was useless after that. So there was a anger there. There was a hatred there. Mama, Dick and Tommy Smothers. Remember them? Mama always loved you more. First, wasn't it? Well, that was what they carried with them. And there are times when they wanted to, they were very bad to Israel, particularly when Israel was down. And I would probably say that when Israel had its chance, they got a little revenge. We're talking about Edom. Let's go from chapter 63, verse it says right here, your garments fire, your garments red like those, like one treading the wine press. Well, we go to a book called Revelation. You go to verse chapter 19. And we pick up with verse 11. Revelation 19:11. I saw in heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider was called Faithful and True. with justice. He judges and makes war. You would think faithful and true would be a peacemaker. No. He makes just wars. If you take the Bible, the Bible verses of all history true, there are such things as just wars. The fact they got the Nazis away from the Jews and free the Jews, that's a just war. Some things are just war for profit. Some things are war for greed. But some things are war for righteousness. He goes on. Verse 12. His eyes are like blazing fire on the head of many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Well, where does blood come from? Human bodies. So he's got his robe is covered with blood from human bodies because he's in destruction and war is going on. Verse 14. About back up to 12. His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven are following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, which will strike down the nations. Out of his mouth comes a sword. We talk frequently that the Bible is a double-edged sword. It cuts in both directions. As if you're a double-edged sword and a rapier or something like that. So, out of his mouth. Well, the sword that comes out of his mouth, we're not talking about a physical sword. We're talking about the gospel, the words of Christ. That's where salvation comes from. And the blood will be those who have fallen, not listening and not taking advantage of the gospel that's given to them. We pick up with verse 15. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with his iron sepulcher. Now, most sepulchers were made out of either silver or gold. An iron is a heavy tool, a very non-malleable tool. It doesn't bend like gold or silver would. So it's strong. It's used for destruction. Used for plows. Used for spears. Used for swords. Verse 15 and a half. He treads the winepress of fury, the wrath of God. Anger, power comes from him. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, isn't it amazing that John, the Revelator, is using words about 1,100 years, give or take, about 800 or 900 years, give or take, the same as Isaiah. I would think John maybe read Isaiah, but the point is that John was also written down, John wrote down what the Spirit told him to write. In Israel, two witnesses makes a truth. Now, when you go home today, be sure you turn on CNN or something and watch the great soap opera that's going to be on called The Impeachment. And there won't be two people who agree on anything for the next week or two that's all going to be on TV. It will be almost as good as right then. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's about the same thing. So I call it a circus because there's going to be a bunch of clowns up there. But on his robe was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun crying out to all the birds, fly in mid-air, come together for a great supper of God, that you may eat the flesh of kings. They sound a little rough, doesn't it? Eat the flesh of kings and generals, mighty men of horses, riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slaves, small and great. Now we go on about the beast, and we're not going to go that far today with that. So, John Revelator, from the Holy Spirit, gives us the words that's hinted for about this crimson robe all the way back in the book of Isaiah. That's why Isaiah is a book of prophecy. He's telling us ahead of time what's going to happen. Now, you can say, and I've already said to me, well, that's not going to happen because God is a God of love and he wants everybody to be happy and they all want to go to heaven no matter what they do. Well, you find that in the book, let me know. Because it's missing in mine. I don't know what page they took out. God is, we just told you, God is a God of justice. Now, he's a God of forgiveness. And that's totally different from being a God of love. God of love, you don't care what to do. God of forgiveness, the one says, we know you're wrong, you know you're wrong. Let's get back and start over. And that is critical that we understand the difference there. Verse 4 in 63, "For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redemption has come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled, no one to support. So my own arm worked salvation for me, and my own wrath sustained me. I trampled the nations in my anger. In my wrath, I made them drunk. I poured their blood on the ground." For God had made a decision. Yesterday, in early morning news, there was a book written, and I think it's about a man who I think is passed, but it was written by people who were there. This man was a sergeant major. Now, those of you in the military know that's pretty high. That's about as big as you can be without being an officer, right? Which means you're more important than most officers.
First sergeant.
Well, this guy, he was ahead of all the prisoners that had been captured in a part of Germany near the latter part of the war. And the first thing the German lieutenant colonel came up and said, "You're in charge, you're the sergeant major, I understand the rules. I need to know which one of your men are Jews." Simple question. But all the men got together and they all decided no one's going to say. They're not going to call a Jew out. No answer. So the next day when they all lined up, and it was a great gob of them, when they all lined up, the colonel got mad because this man was not answering. So he walked up and put his Luger right in the guy's ear and cocked it. "You must tell me now, so we can separate the Jews from the non-Jews." Well, you know what they were going to do. There's no question about that. They had already heard about Auschwitz and Dachau. And the guy said, "I'll not tell you." He said, "I'm going to shoot you dead on the spot." He says, "That's fine. But do remember that the moment this war is over and we will win, he will be brought up on charges. And what they will do to you after that trial was a lot worse than you were going to do to me or any of the Jews that are here." So the guy's hand started shaking real bad with the Luger. And from what I remember him saying, the sergeant just took the Luger and pulled it away from his head and put it down. And the colonel went away not to bother the Jews again. Sometimes you got to take a stand. They did. Could have killed every one of them. Probably wouldn't have bothered some of those Germans a bit because they didn't care. But because he was taken. Oh, yeah. We do know that from history. So the young man and one of the Jews got together and wrote the book about what had happened that day because he took a stand. Well, God's saying here, with Christ, somebody's got to take a stand. Somebody said, "This is not going to happen. We're going to be a part of that. I will tell," in verse 7, "I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to the Lord has done for us." Well, today you might remember in songs that count your blessings, count them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Do we do that enough? Thanksgiving Day should be every day. Now I might do this. Becky and I neither one did this. Did you ever do that? Let's sit around the Thanksgiving table and tell everybody something you're thankful for. Neither one of us cared for that. We didn't. If you want to do it, that's fine with me. Well, the best thing is for everything, you know. We can do that, too. But do we understand and appreciate that what we have is phenomenal? And if you don't think change could change in a minute, ask those people who are having long, short pants and out in the sun last week up north, and today they're wearing 3 sets of Mock-Lock outfits or something. It can change in a heartbeat. "Surely they are my people, sons who are not false to me." God pushes allegiance. God pushes allegiance. "In all the distress, he too was distressed. The angel of his presence saved them." We believe in angels? Is that like you little things in the shaken up sun, snow globes that you see at Cracker Barrel? No, I don't think that's the same thing that we see in Cracker Barrel. The angels are messengers to God. gives us message, gives us hope, gives us guidance. And if we don't believe that God can help us today, then we're greatly losing out. That's what that means. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, and in turn it became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and the people, where he who brought them through the sea and the shepherd of the flock, where he who sent his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious arm of power. That's the fourth time the word arm has been mentioned in here. The God's arm, God's arm of power, of justice, of righteousness. He divided the waters to gain for himself everlasting renown. He led them through the depths like a horse in open country. They did not stumble. God will bless his people, watch over us. And if we fail to see that, is it possible we're looking in the wrong direction or for the wrong things you're expecting us? Maybe we're disappointed because we're asking for the wrong thing ourselves. Or maybe we just don't see the right thing when it happens. We don't get acknowledgement for it. Any questions? Any thoughts? 64, Carolyn. Write it down. Carolyn, I'm going to write it down today. But the rest of you can. Thank you very much.